Good morning. Wonderful sense of God's presence again this morning. And it's just a privilege to be here. I just want to highlight what Andrea was mentioning earlier about the 10 days of prayer coming up. So we do have these cards called Prayer, Care and Share, which we'll put on the coffee bar afterwards. I want to encourage you to take one of these. Maybe that can be a reminder to do the knots in the bangle. Amazing testimony, wasn't it, of D.L. Moody praying for 100 people, and 96 came to faith, and the last four came at his funeral. Amazing story. And so prayer changes things. And God is wanting us to partner with him to see more of his kingdom coming and more of his transforming love and life and power changing lives. I want to share this morning on being a fruitful church. And of course, it all flows out of what we've celebrated this morning to my right here in terms of communion. And Lynn and I were recently away for a wee break up in the north of Scotland, and it was supposed to be a bit of a spring break as the weather was turning a bit, but the first two days were snowing. It was a good Scottish spring weather, and but it was very beautiful, and we did quite a lot of walking in that area in Aberdeenshire. And one of the things that particularly struck us was two things. We were on that what they call Royal Dee side, where beautiful rivers, beautiful walks, but we were particularly struck by the trees as the leaves were coming out, and the forests, and these incredible Scots pines that are only about probably that's the kind of girth size generally, and yet they just go up and up and up and up and up. I don't know how many feet, 60, 70, 100 feet. And one next to the other, next to the other, next to the other, next to the other. And so we decided to Google trees. You know, we're not really well into trees, so we started to Google, because we saw so many different kinds. And we discovered there are Douglas firs, there are Scots pines, there are Norwegian spruces, there are all kinds of larches, and we even saw some cedars to boot. And but it was all displaying the magnificence of the Creator. And as we looked at this incredible creation in front of us. Friends, all that we do by faith in response to hearing God's voice. We are a household of faith. We live by a theology of response. It's not monkey see, monkey do. It's God speak, we do. What he says, we do. Yeah, as we respond to what he is saying, we said this recently, we could actually just walk away with this morning. The way of faith is God speaks, faith comes. We obey, faith grows. If we can just get that right in our lives as we allow the Spirit of God to speak to us through the Word of God, we will be a people of faith. We will do exploits of faith in partnership with God and the Holy Spirit. And we will see lives transformed. And we will be fruitful. And he is the one who wants to do more. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly, it says in Scripture, beyond what we can ask, see, think, dream, or even imagine. And he wants us to keep hearing, keep pressing into him, keep allowing him to download his ways, his thoughts, and his words to us. So I want to start off with a couple of scriptures this morning that relate a bit to our journey as a church. And the first scripture is in Psalm 80. It's going to come up on the screen. And it's verses 7 to 11. I'm going to read from New Living Translation. Psalm 80, verses 7 to 11. Turn us again to yourself, O God Almighty. Make your face shine down upon us. Only then will we be saved. It's by grace alone that we're saved. When we turn and we see Jesus, and he shines his light and his truth in our lives. You brought us out from Egypt as though we were a tender vine. That's the picture here. You drove away the pagan nations and planted or transplanted us into your land. And verse 9 is a verse that God gave us as a church around about June the 1st, 2011. And we'd had a number of words of scripture, and as we prayed, words of prophecy related. We were meeting in Tollcross Primary School at the time. We'd been there for about 7 years. And we'd had scriptures about moving to a new venue. God sweeping a place clean for us. And it was a journey. It took a good 2 years. And then we had this scripture that was that God shared with us, or somebody shared from the congregation. And this is what it says. You cleared the ground for us. We took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with our shade. The mighty cedars were covered with our branches. We spread our branches west to the Mediterranean Sea and our limbs east to the Euphrates River. It's a wonderful, wonderful picture of God planting his people, clearing ground, his people taking root in the place of his appointment, and then starting to be fruitful where he has located them. And I don't know whether you can see it, but there's a picture there of a tree on the just to the right of the coffee bar, just to crane your neck a little bit. And it talks about being rooted in Christ, growing in faith, and abounding with thanksgiving. And so God spoke this scripture to us in our journey about being a tree, a plant. They talk about a church plant, which we started as a church in July 2004 with a few people. God has brought growth and increase. And in our journey, said, I'm going to take you to a location, I'm going to root you more in the community. And that's what he's done in these last 5 years or so. And he's faithful, and we're seeing fruitfulness. And then there's another scripture I want to take you to. It's Isaiah 61. It's a well-known scripture. And we're going to camp out a bit in this scripture this morning. And I'm just going to read the back half of verse 3, because it's talking about planting again. And then verse 4. And we're going to sort of dot in and out of this scripture as we talk about factors for fruitfulness. But this is what it says. That they, back end of verse 3, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. You know, when I looked at those firs, those cedars, those spruces, those all the, you know, it was just, they were just so majestic, huge, splendid, and they were a reflection of their Creator. And God says through Isaiah the prophet here, they, who's they? Actually, they are all those who have been healed, set free, if you read the preceding verses, which we'll come back to later. Those who've been liberated by the power of the Holy Spirit. Those who've found freedom. Those who've seen Jesus for the first time. Those who've actually come into a spacious place. Come out of shame and guilt. Lives have been transformed. They, together, in community, will become trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. But it goes on. And they, say with me, they. They. Or maybe say, us. Us. Yeah? And others to come shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations and they shall repair the ruined cities. What a beautiful thing that is. We who were basket cases, because of sin and all kinds of guilt and shame and issues in our lives, by the power of the Holy Spirit, are transformed. Beauty comes where there was ashes. Hope comes where there was despair. Praise comes where there was depression and dejection. And the life of the Spirit in us, we become the planting of the Lord for the display of His splendor. And we rebuild lives. We go on to raise up things that have been desolate. We repair ruined cities that have been desolate for many generations. It's an incredible picture, isn't it? I remember in Tollcross Primary School many years ago, we've been going about 3 or 4 years, and somebody had this scripture in one of our Sunday morning meetings. And they said, this is a prophetic picture for what we will be as a church. We will be trees of righteousness individually, and we will be a tree that is actually fruitful in the community. You see, for those pines to go way up into the sky, the roots have got to be deep. And so what are some of the factors for us as we continue on this journey, as we are being fruitful and God wants us to be more fruitful? And I want to try, if I can, and give you 5. We'll see how many we get through this morning. Number 1, we need to continue to magnify and make much of Jesus. And yeah, again, just so delighted again this morning. There is only one name. It's for the display of His splendor. And it's being stunned by His magnificence. Gobsmacked, if you like. When was the last time that you, in your quiet time, you were gobsmacked by God? You were just awed, sitting in His presence. When was the last time He took your breath away? When all the things of the earth grew strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace and face. And maybe I can put it another way. Practically, how is my heart with Jesus right now? Today, as I stand, today, as we sit, how is my heart with Jesus right now? What's my current testimony? Because you see, ministry and the ability to be fruitful is an overflow of intimacy and my relationship with Jesus. It's a natural and yet supernatural overflow. And so, how much unhurried time am I having with Jesus? There's a daily invitation that He gives out to us to be with Him. Sharing that with the leaders a couple of weeks ago, that we often sing that song, don't we? Waiting here for you with my hands lifted high. Yeah, we sing that. It's a good song. I love that song. But actually, he's saying to us, I'm waiting here for you. You know, come and be with me. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, there's an invitation that goes out to all believers. Come unto me, those who are labored and heavy laden, I will give you rest. I wonder if you could just throw that one up, please, Scott. To make much of Him, we need to be much with Him. If you could throw that scripture up, please, Scott, from the Message Bible, if you have it. Matthew 11:28-30. I don't know whether you got it. Okay, it's not there. It's fine. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion, This is Jesus speaking. Come to me. Get away with me. And you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. And I love this last bit. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. When Jesus first called his disciples, the text tells us that he called them to be his companions first, to be with him, that he might send them out to preach and to heal the sick. That's the order. It's being with and then preaching. It's being with and then ministering. And being with and releasing fruitful life. So and I'm asking myself the question this morning. How's my companionship with Jesus? On a scale of 0 to 10, how am I doing with keeping company with him? We've shared that before, haven't we? That word company comes from the Latin compani, which means with bread. Pani is where we get our word panini from. Yeah, company, with bread. Are you fellowship? How's your company with Jesus? Because that's his friendship first with Jesus. That's where everything flows out of. And he, you know, doctors can help to fix bodies. Food fills our stomach. We can brush our teeth with the highest whitening toothbrush and helps us to give a bright smile as we go out into our day. There's all kinds of things that we have, the makeup for the ladies and nice stuff for the guys, you know, so they go out feeling like men, you know. All of that stuff, you know, has its place. That's good. But there's only one person who satisfies the soul. It's Jesus. And he gives you a daily invitation. Come to me. Learn from me. And you shall find, not might, perhaps, you shall find rest for your souls. Shalom is the word in the Hebrew. Although that's in the New Testament, it's the same Salem as the Greek word. It's the same kind of meaning. Wholeness, peace, well-being, prosperity, a richness, a satisfaction, a joy, a deep well in your soul. And see, friends, when we do that, what's that got to do with trees? When we do that, that's how we start to become rooted in our identity, in who we are as children of God. We become rooted in who Jesus is and who we are in him. And the roots go down on the inside in our soul, and character is formed. So that when the winds of life come, the tests come, like they would have done with those saplings when they were young, those pines, they stand. And Roy made the point when I was sharing this with the leaders, of course, when they plant these trees, they plant them, you know, with purpose. They plant them. They don't just randomly throw seed. They plant them so that they actually, the one tree protects the other tree from the elements. So we're planted together in Christ, in community. But friends, it begins by us alone with Jesus, responding to his invitation. To make much of him, we have to be much with him. The other thing that we saw when we were away was we saw a lot of sheep. It was it's the time when lambs are springing up, as well as blossom and bushes and trees and all the greenery. And we saw a lot of sheep, and I observed three things that sheep do. And we're called sheep, aren't we, in the Bible many times. And there's only one shepherd, and guess who it is? But the three things that sheep do, they eat, they lie down, and they sleep. What a wonderful life. Eat, lie down, sleep. But actually, they only do that because they know they're cared for by the shepherd. And the whole Psalm 23 story, journey, text tells us that actually there's an invitation to come and lie down with the shepherd. Lie down in his presence. Because we're dependent, your soul and my soul, most of the sicknesses, about a quarter of the sicknesses in our world, in Scotland right now, are psychosomatic sicknesses. And if our soul starts to deplete and run on empty, it affects our body, it affects our relationships, it affects our ability to function, because actually we are beings, not just bodies. You're a human being, not just a human doing, and your human doing will rapidly go into decline if you don't take care of your human being. Jesus is the answer to that. And Gert Jan wonderfully described that last week, didn't he, when he went through the names of God. And he said, all that God is, Jesus is. And so, yeah, that's the first key. Continue to magnify and make much of Jesus. Secondly, as a church, we need to keep focus on the magnitude of his call, the bigness of what he's called us to be and to do. When we lose the sense of the bigness of God's call on our lives, we get distracted with lesser things. And the enemy is a past master at giving us all kinds of different things to get involved in. Sometimes things that are even legitimate, but they take us away from the bigness of God's call in our lives. I love the story of Nehemiah in the Old Testament, where he hears about the walls in Jerusalem. He's hundreds of miles away, but he gets the report that the walls in Jerusalem are broken down and the gates are burned with fire. And so he's passionate about that, because what happens in the city of Jerusalem, which is called the city of the great king, is a representation of God and his people. So he prays, he mourns, he's deeply affected by what he hears. He prays, he mourns, he fasts, he weeps. And over a period of 90 days, there's a conviction that comes to his heart that actually God is calling me to go and make a difference in that situation. And for us as a church, we move forward not on the basis of need, not on the basis of good causes. We move forward in terms of being fruitful, in terms of the call of God to us, and what a conviction of what God has called us as a church to be and to do. And as we embrace that, as we focus in on that, and as we together take hold of the task together, there is incredible fruitfulness. As we see with Nehemiah, that wall was built in an incredibly quick, I think it's 52 days. A massive wall, 10 foot thick as well, so many meters high. It was an incredible feat, because one man had a conviction that God had called him. He gathered others around him, and they built together. But during that process, the enemy came to distract. And in chapter 6 of Nehemiah, we get this story here. Now, it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall, or rebuilt the wall, and that there were no breaks left in it, though at the time I had not hung the doors in the gates. They sent to me saying, "Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono." Or you might say, "Oh no." See, the enemy wants to get us off the walls into the valley of "oh no." He wants to take us off the task of what God has called us to be and to do, and he wants us to get involved in endless discussions or irrelevant details or enemy derailing distractions to take us away from our destiny and what he's called us to be and to do. But Nehemiah sought through, it says, "But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them saying, I am doing a great work. so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? And here we go, verse 4, the enemy's dogged. But they sent me this message 4 times, and I answered them in the same manner. And if you read through the rest of the chapter, he held his position. And I want to say to us, friends, we could go through the prophetic words that God has spoken over us as a church over many years, and we need to do that on a regular basis, and we need to hold our position in terms of what God has called us to be and to do, and not get distracted in terms of coming down from the walls. One of the words that God's been highlighting in the last couple of weeks, out of Ephesians 2:10, it was 2 weeks ago Roy had it in the meeting, last week Khetian mentioned it, is we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should do. Just say that to the person next to you. You are God's masterpiece. And as we've been learning from the book of Ephesians, yeah, each one of us is a work of art, and God saves us, God gives us a new life, God restores us, God heals us, God brings us into a place of freedom to be part of a community for the display of his splendor. And you are significant. Whatever part you play in the life of this church, in the life of the body of Christ, whatever part you play is incredibly significant. And we mustn't confuse prominence with significance. They're not the same. We see that right through Scripture, that actually everyone is significant. It has nothing to do with prominence. Your significance is in your identity. You're made with a purpose in mind. You're made with a mission in mind. Your DNA is in keeping with the destiny that God has for you. And he's given you gifts and abilities to participate with the rest of the body so that the body can be fruitful. And together, as we see where he is taking us on our journey, as we stand together, this tree grows and there's a fruitfulness. So his call for us at 3CI is big, and each one has a significant part to play. Number 3, our mission with him is global. I almost want to say glocal. We are a glocal church. We're a local church with a global mission. We have a heart to reach into our community. We have initiatives that are happening out of the church in terms of the cafe and in terms of evangelism, in terms of community initiatives that are happening that either we are looking at or are in the process of starting up. And so we have a heart for the city to partner with other churches in this city to see people's lives changed. But also, we have a heart for the nations. And my conviction is that actually every single local church has a biblical mandate, has a biblical commission to all people. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus said to the disciples, "Wait in Jerusalem until you have received power from on high. You'll be witnesses." Where you are, in Jerusalem. Then in same culture, but a bit further around, Glasgow, you know, Judea. And then beyond Judea, Samaria, another culture, France, England, another culture, and the ends of the earth. And so, you know, as a church, part of our fruitfulness, God spoke to us when we first came to plant here, and said, "I've called you to preach the gospel to the Europeans," 2004. And we didn't know quite what that looked like. We had a partnership with an apostolic team called New Covenant Ministries International, and that's one of the reasons why we came, as in that partnership and relationship to plant here. And what's happened is a partnership has unfolded. So, as an example, the last few weeks, what was it? 4 weeks ago, we had a youth conference here, where people came from 7 nations, young people, and there was just an incredible move of God. And Gareth and Andrea, Tiffany, Lorna and Ali are heading off to France in about 10 days' time to an equip out there. And we are looking, you know, developing our partnerships with churches. Last week, Gert-Jan and Leah were here from Holland. There's a partnership growing there. For the sake of the gospel, not just in Edinburgh, but beyond into Scotland, England, and Europe. And so we talked recently as leaders, how can we make that happen more practically in the next 12 months, in the next 3 years? And one of the areas that we are looking at is Poland. Two of the girls that were at Regenerate come from Krakow. And Lynn and I and Roy and a couple of guys who come with us from Dundee have had the privilege to sort of do a couple of trips out to Krakow. And we're wanting to go some more. Danny and Amelia were due to come with us in March but couldn't quite get the visas sorted. But we see incredible fields of opportunity in that nation to partner with that one church in Krakow in reaching others for Christ in Poland. And I'm sharing this just to be practical this morning. That's God's heart for his world, and we have a heart for the nations, and it's through partnership. Let me go back to Isaiah 61. Verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. Here we go. My soul shall be joyful in my God. For he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. That's the free gift of God, of God's life to us. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness. That's what happens when we come to Christ and we respond to his sacrifice by faith. We receive that gift, that clothing of righteousness. He covers our sin. It's an amazing thing. Imputed righteousness. It's a gift. As a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. And then it goes on. For as the earth brings forth its bud. It changes the analogy now to nature. As the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. For Zion's sake I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake I will not rest, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burns. The nations shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory, which shall you shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. In other words, the righteousness that we receive as a gift, God wants that to not just be imputed, but imparted. He wants it to grow in us, so that actually it can radiate through us in Edinburgh, in our workplace, in our neighborhoods, and even into nations beyond. And so, yeah, practical partnerships with people across the nations. We're seeking to develop those partnerships for the gospel going out into our world. The fourth factor for fruitfulness I want to just give is multiply. Multiply through making disciples. I mentioned earlier that when we were up north, we just saw lambs everywhere, just springing. Yeah. Reproduction and multiplication, it's a natural thing. Right from the beginning in the Bible, God says, be fruitful and multiply. It's God's way of it's a natural thing. And the way that happens in the spiritual family is through making disciples. It's through disciples of Jesus making disciples of Jesus. It's through that, as we are filled with him, much with him, making much of him, filled with him in our soul. It's a reproduction of that life in fellowship with others. We've said this before, that kind of given a definition of what a disciple is. A disciple is someone who is called by Jesus to be with Jesus, to become like Jesus, and to continue the ministry and mission of Jesus with other Christ-like followers. And that's our aim as a church. I mean, it's wonderful to hear Tom and Gareth going out yesterday and connecting with people in the marketplace. And that's where it begins, isn't it? Making that connection. But it doesn't end there. As people come into the church, the hard yards of seeing people transformed from a seed to a tree that is fruitful and ministering life to others, the hard yards is called disciples, discipleship. That's actually our mandate, not just to go, but to make disciples. So let me ask you this question this morning. Who's discipling you? And when I say that, it's not kind of a big, heavy thing. It's actually who's your companion in the journey? Who's your friend who's walking alongside? Who's your buddy? Who are people that you can call, text, draw from? Yeah? In the journey. Who can you pray with? And so Andrea mentioned earlier that we have life groups, you know, in different parts of the city during the week. And that's the purpose of those small groups. Jesus changed the world through a small group of 11, 12 people. And small groups are so powerful because it's actually there where we grow in our faith. We become vulnerable. We become real. We share our relationships. And just looking at Serena there, who is just with us for the second time today in the meeting. And I just want to commend you, Serena. First time in the meeting last Sunday, came to a life group on Thursday. You know, and I remember Lorraine when she came into the church 2 years ago, almost 3 years ago now. Came in on the Sunday first Thursday, came to a life group, and now we have a life group in her home. So, and see, there's an intentionality there that actually I don't want to just come and attend. I want to come and actually participate. I want to grow in my faith in Jesus. I want to be fruitful. I want to feed into other people's lives, and I want other people to feed into my life. Yeah? And friends, we're all broken in some way. In some way, we're all just broken people being healed. And we need one another to be whole, to become more like Jesus, to be encouraged in our faith, because sometimes life is tough. We take some knocks, things get heavy, we get busy, and we need to be with God's people to stay fruitful and to multiply ourselves. Discipleship doesn't take place in the formal. It takes place in the informal. It often doesn't take place in the large, it takes place in the small. But we need to be intentional, Jesus says, about making disciples. So it's not just going all over the world. It's actually making disciples. Here and where we go. And that requires consistency and partnership. It also requires in our homes availability, accessibility, flexibility. Because as I mentioned in a series a while back, you know, making disciples is a bit like raising children. It's very much like raising children. It's hard work. It takes time. It's the thing we do for the long haul. But as you do with your own children, where you invest in them and you remind them and you train them and you encourage them and you do it one more time, there's a harvest coming down the road. A life changed. Your faithfulness and our faithfulness in discipling people in 3CI Edinburgh is going to change nations into the future. We don't see it now often because it's like a seed in the ground that we're watering. We've planted that we're watering it. But actually, it's going to grow, and it's going to be incredibly fruitful, and it's going to change other people's lives, locally and potentially beyond. Are you with me? It's the way Jesus did it. I know I'm giving a real overview kind of preach this morning. It's not the kind of normal, it's a different preach this morning. But it's a reminder. These are the factors that are going to keep us being fruitful as a church. Making much of Jesus, being with him, keeping focus on the bigness of his call and the significance of his call. Remembering that our mission is global and our partnering is to neighborhoods and nations and multiplying through making disciples. And finally, number 5, ministering the life-giving Holy Spirit. Back to Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me. And the rest, as they say, is history, as you read that passage. Everything, preaching the gospel to the poor with power and impact. Ministering healing through a touch. Bringing freedom through a word. It only comes through the anointing. Without the anointing, it's just words. Without the anointing, it's just a hand on a shoulder. Without the anointing, there's no impartation. There's no power. And it's been such a delight, actually, the last few weeks, the last month, to see the Holy Spirit touching lives. God speaking prophetically. I mean, Chet Yan did really step out of the boat last week. And opened up the door for many others to step out. And there was prophetic words for first-time visitors. And the Holy Spirit has moved in wonderful ways. I was saying to the leaders that it was a thrill for me. I'm going to wrap up with this. It was a thrill for me to see young guys at Regenerate a month ago. And I just had conversation with them. Wasn't through a preach, wasn't in worship, just through conversation. You could sense the presence of God. I'm not a touchy-feely guy. But I love it when you can sense the presence of God. And two young guys in particular, one from France, one from Holland. I said to Lynn as we drove up away from that time, up further north, I said, those two guys have got an amazing future. But here's the thing. Where did that come from? They'd been in the presence of God. And it challenged me, actually. How much time am I spending in the presence of God? So let's just, I wonder if we could just close our eyes where we are right now. Because we've certainly been in his presence this morning. God has designed you and me to be fruitful. Actually, when we're not fruitful in terms of the gospel, there's something that's unnatural for a Christian. And I wonder if we can, just do business with God right where you are now. And Father, I just thank you for your presence. We've sensed it. We've sensed you right through this meeting today. From the moment Gareth opened up and Tom shared, right through the worship, the clips, the communion, and we even sense it afresh right now, Lord. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are the one who brings freedom to our lives. You are the one who brings the beauty for ashes. You are the one who brings joy where there's been mourning. You're the one who brings a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. You're the one who glorifies Christ through us. You're the one who brings healing to our bodies. You're the one who empowers us to be witnesses. You're the one who awakens our soul to the bigger things you have for us. You're the one who gives us strength and gifts and abilities. And we want to yield afresh to you right now. And Father, I just thank you for the river of God just flowing in deeper and deeper ways in our lives. I thank you for time out with our Savior this week. We think of those words of the Archbishop of Canterbury, my ever-present Savior, the core of my life. Lord, I thank you that the roots of our faith in you will go deeper from day to day. Give us that intentionality to be with you, to walk with you. And that as we go out into the marketplace this week, anointed with your presence and your grace, there would be that boldness to engage with people, and that people would tangibly sense, the love of God, the grace of God, and the power of God. Thank you for words of wisdom. Thank you for words of knowledge, bringing life and fruitfulness and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.